This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, welcome to the show. Up on this episode, we are kicking out a little bit of special content for you guys out there. I will be out of the country the day this drops. I'll be over in Rome in Italy, and I thought what a great opportunity to do something that makes me very happy. You guessed it, it's another Giallo. It's been a wee while since we did a Giallo review, although I think I mentioned Giallo in pretty much every episode we record, so there's a reference or a point or just a general longing for the genre. I've decided to cover one that is set in Rome, obviously, but one that I've never reviewed before, and actually, moreover on top of that, one that I had only ever watched once, and I'm not entirely sure why that was, because upon the revisit, turns out fucking great. So yeah, we're going to be doing The Black Belly of the Tarantula from 1971. That'll be coming up after the first break. Now, for those that are keeping score, we just dropped our second massive Director's Conversation episode on Brian De Palma, finishing out the back half of that guy's career, 1981 through to 2019. It's a huge long form episode and it dropped just about a week ago. So if you haven't already had the chance to check it out, please go and check it out wherever you listen to the podcast or whether you watch it on YouTube. It is available for you. It is long. It's about 5.5 hours, but it's worth every second of your time. Coming up on the podcast, well, like I said, I'm away. So when I return, I'll be finishing off that Italian collection. I have decided, ladies and gents, something I don't normally do. I ain't doing my second part on my Glasgow Fright Fest, and the reason behind it is, upon further reflection of said festival, the back half wasn't great, and the front half wasn't great, and there's maybe two or three films in total that I genuinely thought were good movies, if not leaning towards great movies, and the rest were pretty bad. And as you know, is my want on this podcast, I just don't like talking about things that I don't like unless I physically have to, i.e. I'm putting myself through a franchise or reviewing a box set. I don't seek out doing negative reviews for obvious reasons. So that second part's not coming. The only thing I'm going to say about it is the first movie on the second day was called Mom. It's a Canadian horror movie. When it comes out, check it out. It's really fucking good, if not completely depressing, which is probably why I enjoyed it. So there, that's an update on that. So when I return back from my vacay, we'll be doing the next installment of the 88 Films Italian Collection, because it feels good to be coming back and talking about more Italian stuff. Why not? So, with all those updates out of the way, let's get down to it. You are going to see the trailer for The Black Belly of the Tarantula from 1971. When we return, I'll be giving you some details on that movie before we jump into the review right after this.
Night. A time for quiet. A time for evil. Behind the door. Through the window. A time for terror. A terror that leaves a tiny clue, a pattern, a blood. Repeated again and again and again.
Don't make a move.
Thank you.
How do you forget? How do you hide from a horror that pierces your most secret moments? How do you escape a death that comes in the night like some monstrous ancient ritual? MGM presents The Black Belly of a Tarantula, a gothic tale of terror and death.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So you just saw or heard the trailer for The Black Belly of the Tarantula from 1971. If you're doing the video version of this, as always, we'll expect images to appear to cover the fact that I'm reading from a computer screen. If you're doing the audio version, this is seamless. And I love the fact that you are ignorant to, one, what I look like, and two, the technical pain that goes through doing video episodes. So let's give some information on the movie. The Black Belly of the Tarantula, aka La Tarantola dal Ventinero, was released in 1971. I think it was technically shot in 1970 in Rome, which is why we're covering it on this episode. It is directed by Paolo Cavara, who is probably best known for a lot of kind of Mondo documentary work. Mondo Kane is his big one, which won, I believe, it won some award. I don't think it was the Palme d'Or, but it won an award at Cannes, and it's kind of at the forefront of those Mondo movies, which would essentially encompass a ton of late 60s, early 70s through to 80s style movies. Also, weird fact on this one, not only is the Mondo tag kind of flung it against a lot of those movies, and there's a huge influence on Cannibal Holocaust, he actually did do a movie in the late 60s, which feels like it could be a little bit of a subplot of the Cannibal Holocaust idea, which is of a documentarian who travels to the Amazon to physically get invested with the shots that he wants, which kind of feels like, not saying Rodero Diodato maybe had a little bit of a wink and a nod towards it, but it kind of feels like it could be. The movie itself stars probably the biggest name in here being Giancarlo Giovanni. He is more known nowadays for a kind of ton of those later day Daniel Craig James Bond movies where he plays Rennie Mathis, a guy who appears in Casino Royale and then a couple other movies afterwards, kind of French detective. He's mostly played a ton of kind of French or Italian detectives, but he's also in things like Man on Fire, where he plays a kind of similar sleazy sort of role. And this one here, he plays the lead detective, but he's surrounded by a who's who, a treasure trove of other phenomenal Italian presences and French as well, but particularly in the world of giallo. So we have Claudine Augier, who is probably most known for her appearances Domino in Thunderball, James Bond movie. Lots of James Bond connections all over the place for this one. Also, you have in this movie Barbara Boucher, oh my god, from Don't Torture a Duckling, and also in a movie called Casino Royale as well, where she plays Moneypenny. So, once again, another connection. Three Bond women in this one, and then a character from a Bond movie later on. You also have in this particular movie here Silvano Tranquelli, I think I say pronounce that. He has been in movies we've discussed before, so we did The Bloodstained Butterfly, which he appears in. You also have Rosella Falk. Rosella Falk is in Seven Bloodstained Orchids, another movie we've covered on here as well. And then we also have Annabella Incontreria. She's in actually a ton of Italian movies. And if you check her IMDb, there appears to be a massive gap between 1980 and 2011. And I wonder if that's because she went away to start a family or went to school or took on another job or something along those lines. Enzio Morano is also in this movie. He is in Beast with a Gun, which we've also covered in this particular podcast under the Stairs season, the Italian collection for sure. And then the last Bond girl worth mentioning is Barbara Bach, who appears as Major Anya Asimov, who is in The Spy Who Loved me. So yeah, lots of Bond connections all over this one. As for other details of note on this one, we have Ennio Morricone doing the score, and the score is lush on this one. And last but not least, the synopsis is listed on IMDb. A series of victims are paralysed while having their bellies ripped open, much in the same way tarantulas are killed by the Black Wasp. All victims all seem to have a connection with a spa. So there you go, lengthy information, but I kind of went into the weeds on this one. I saw the Black Belly of the Tarantula not quite a decade ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, and it was when I was already, as the Scots would say, ball deep in giallo. I was like completely fascinated with the subgenre, got like into hitting off the heavy hitters, your Argentos, your Marinos, your Filchis, your like Bavas. You just like started getting very involved with it. Started getting a lot of books as well. I remember this one coming up not via the usual means, though. I want to say this appeared as part of an interview with director Quentin Tarantino, where he was talking about specifically his interest in like Italian movies. I think he was talking about Filchi and around about way he managed to get to the Black Belly of the Tarantula, which, I mean, is a great name, but it does kind of instantly evoke Bird with a Crystal Plumage. And it's in short order released within a year of Bird with a Crystal Plumage. Actually was filmed not long after Bird with a Crystal Plumage was released. And it's one of those instant knee-jerk reactions to, and this happens a lot in cinema, but moreover in Italian cinema, where something lands with an audience, it gains a bit of a following, or maybe even lands internationally, and the studios are like, we need every filmmaker to stop what they're doing, put their tools down, and all we're making is giallos now. And this isn't that initial kind of first wave of copycat giallos, but to call it a copycat giallo is doing a massive disservice to this movie. This is the second time viewing for me, and actually on this rewatch, even though I remembered who the killer was, I came into this one just loving so much of this. And it's clear to see why when you look at it on paper. It's directed by a director who has like extreme prowess behind the camera, has had critical acclaim before, but also like a longer period in cinema. It wasn't as if he'd made two movies and then he was making a giallo. He'd kind of been in or around the subgenre of thrilling cinema, or cinema which on some level was something that pushed audiences, and this kind of fits within that wheelhouse. It is worth saying that in terms of violence on screen, like this one is like next level compared with the Bird with Crystal Plumage. Actually, it's next level compared with a lot of giallos that would come out in the very early 70s. This is surprisingly dark, mean-spirited. Also, it's slightly before Short Night at the Glass Dolls by Aldo Lada. And there's a similar premise here of a nerve agent that paralyzes your body so you're still alive when you're murdered. So it's kind of similar that way. Ennio Morricone scoring both those movies as well. Weird tie-in. But yeah, that's the first aspect of it, is like surprisingly mean-spirited. The second thing is our main detective here, Giovanni Giacarlo, is phenomenal. He's a great actor already and has had a long career because of that. You only have to watch the movie Hannibal by Ridley Scott to see him appear in Italy as, what's his name again? Can't remember. He's the detective who, he's the guy who has either bills in or bills out. That's that dude. He's in here. He's very young in this movie. Very, very young. And he is the high quality of this one. This is a giallo where we don't have a travelling tourist who is like besting the police in investigation, which is the Argento kind of setup. This is a movie where this is a police procedural, and our detective in here is really fucking good at his job. But not only is he really good at his job, he, from the opening scenes of being introduced to him, has recently moved into homicide and just doesn't think he has the disposition to hack it. This really weighs on him, and as a result, you spend a lot of this movie with him just being kind of aghast at what he's actually asked to do, which you never see in any other giallo. Like, there's never, like, these guys, the murders can be the most horrific thing ever, and these Italian police officers are like, oh, another murder, let's solve this one, can't wait to do it. But let's be really incompetent until this English musician solves it for us. Like, in this movie, he's brilliant, and this is another one where actually the clues, this is very well written, the clues in this one add up to the reveal at the end. So you're following the police officer. Every time he takes a note, take note of him taking a note, because actually it's going to lead to something later on. And by the end of it, it actually makes sense. What I also love about this is, and we're jumping all over the place, at the end of this movie, when the killer is revealed, we get the kind of standard psychiatrist is going to sit down here and go through the, well, I think you'll find the killer had this problem, where they're trying to explain it. And I love that our main detective here, who is shell-shocked by what he has had to go through and how he's solved this case, as it's being explained to him, he's just like, I don't want to hear this. killer caught. I don't want to have to deal with this now. Please just leave me alone. And you, the closing shots of this movie is a despondent detective having come out the other end changed. He's like walking the streets of Rome, like kind of despondent. And I love that aspect about it here. The main throng of the giallo story here in this movie is that we have a killer who is killing people by essentially inserting, using almost a kind of acupuncture like technique with a needle, tarantula venom into the body to paralyze the person, and then is disemboweling them while they're still alive with a knife, or slitting their throat, depending on how much time he's got to play around. And that's the kind of setup. It's all linked back to this kind of conspiracy of blackmail surrounding people that are using or tangentially associated with a kind of resort spa. And the deaths are surprisingly violent on a plethora of very attractive women in their, my God, prime. A lot of flesh in this movie. God bless Italian cinema in their early 70s. A lot of flesh and nastiness. This has like a lot of knife death, and some of the effects are absolutely brilliant in this, like really, really, really land for me. There's obviously the idea of them taking the animal connection here, this idea of how this black wasp is the only real prey to a tarantula. I don't think that's technically true. I've seen plenty of National Geographic programs to know that there are other animals that can eat tarantulas, but in the case of this one, it'll lay its larvae inside their stomach until they hatch, thus killing the creature altogether. And I do like that aspect here of this kind of, we're going to show you these images of creatures doing things, once again, very Mondo, and we're going to juxtapose that with the events themselves. It's also a really cool way for a killer to kill someone, and it's been emulated. Like I said before, Short Night at the Glass Doll's central premise is that our main protagonist in that movie has been injected with a serum of some sort that is keeping him alive but registering his body as dead, and we are recounting the events that led him up to this part whilst he's about to be given a live autopsy in front of medical students. So it's like against the clock sort of story. By the way, if you've never seen Short Night at the Glass Dolls, chef's kiss, one of the best. I love that movie. But also, I think this one has had a direct impact on the editor. The movie done by Astron 6, 2014, 2015, which is a comedic jally, and it's like an homage to all these movies. And then the killer in that one actually injects people with a paralyzing agent, then puts a tarantula on them, which kind of feels like double overkill or triple nod, which I kind of love as well. This movie here is about an hour and 35 minutes long, so kind of primo giallo length. I think it does the job of landing kills at good points. It's heavily leans on the police procedural aspect here, which other directors in and around this time kind of lose sight of and really just go into the weeds on the death. Argento surprisingly stuck really close to the let's solve a mystery together, and I think a lot of the immediate giallos kind of lost sight of that in some way, shape or form, and just thought the reason the movie had been successful for Argento was because of the elaborate natures of the death. And you get a ton of those in short order in 71 and 72, and then you get surprisingly more mean-spirited in 73 74, probably culminating in Torso, before you start getting like things like Strip Nude for Your Killer and Eyeball, and then Argento kind of coming back to reclaim the throne with Deep Red in 75 and kind of resetting what's actually now a horror genre and not just a crime thriller. The Ennio Morricone score on this movie is Chef's Kiss Supreme. I absolutely love this. Morricone did like about 9 like phenomenal scores for movies all in this year, including The Short Night of the Glass Dolls that I mentioned earlier on, and 2 for Argento as well, which is just nuts, and 4 Flies of Grey Velvet and Cat and Nine Tails. So he just like seemed to be able to just churn out masterful masterclass soundtrack after masterful masterclass soundtrack back to back with no issues whatsoever. And this one stands up with it. I absolutely adore it. I think it's really, really, really good, and I think it holds together. So yeah, coming back to Black Belly of the Tarantula, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I don't know if it was because I was maybe burned out by how many I'd watched the first time I'd viewed it, but I remember coming away from it going like that, oh yeah, called the killer early, and yeah, it was okay, but it's no Argento, it's no Sergio Martino. This time around, coming to the end of it, I kind of was a bit more blown away by how much I actually enjoyed the pacing, the deaths, the mystery, and the central detective. Like, if our detective here had had a series of movies after this, had been like, we'd done like a series of connecting mysteries around them, kind of think something Columbo styled, it would have been brilliant. I think they actually missed a trick here. I think he plays the part so authentically that we could have had like a run of movies here that would have been absolutely brilliant. Even though the genre itself had kind of burned out, fizzled out quite a bit within like 2 years of this movie being released, and it's ad hoc big ones by big names that have the impact. Yeah, overall, Black Belly of the Tarantula is like a home run for me. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I give it a 5 out of 5, whereas I think before it was sitting a 3.5. That's how much I enjoyed it on this viewing. I think it is, in terms of like short order recommendations of giallo movies that you would want to introduce to someone that didn't know the genre, and you want to come up with the heavy hitters, but not just constantly mention Argento, Fulci, and Martino, and Bava. Like, this is one you would go to, for sure. This is definitely one of these ones where it kind of feels like its own thing, very much like the first time you watch A Lizard in a Woman's Skin, and you get to the end of that, and you're like, this just kind of feels like someone's like definitely put their own stamp on the genre and not just tried to like use the template story structure and elements of giallo kind of made visible and commercial by Dario Argento. So yes, a 5 out of 5 for me. Black Belly of the Tarantula kicked my ass. And yeah, that will bring us to the end of that. So thank you very much for checking out this episode of the podcast Under the Stairs. As always, if you're checking us out on YouTube, hit a like and a subscribe. Leave a comment below. Have you checked out this movie? Have you checked out this movie recently? If you have, what did you think about it? And if you haven't, are you going to? The big upset for me is this one does not appear to have a good Blu-ray release in 2024. Kind of feels a little bit criminal, and I'm not entirely sure why that's the case. Specifically in the UK, maybe in other territories, but kind of feels like even from the cinematography and stuff, this would polish up real nice, and we're just going to have to wait on some label eventually getting around to it. But yeah, let me know what you thought of that there. If you're checking us out on Spotify or the Anchor apps, we can do video and audio on those for podcast content. Answer the question that appears at the end of the episode. And lastly, if you're checking us out on any of the podcatchers available where this podcast comes out, then hit subscribe. That way you get access to over 1,300 episodes of Podcasts Under the Stairs and all brand new content that may come out. With that done, ladies and gents, all that's left for me to say is thank you very much for checking out this episode. I look forward to catching up with you when I come back from Rome. And until then, whatever you are, where the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.